Good morning, church. Welcome to worship. Welcome all of you who are joining us by live stream today. It's good to be connected together. My name is Rockford Johnson. It's a joy to serve with you in this mission and ministry as senior pastor along with so many gifted leaders in this place. Let us remember together as we come together, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ushers are passing the connection pads, and we appreciate it if you leave us some information when that comes around. If this is your first time with us and you're interested in knowing more, we'd love to connect with you, of course. And there are welcome cards in the pew racks in front of you. And if you're online, you can go to mcfarlandumc.org, the front page of our website. Go to virtual worship, and there's a way for you to let us know you're worshiping with us. For those of you in-house, we have a gift bag at the exits for you. If you'll take that card, one of the greeters will be glad to give that to you. Let us know how we can pray for you. Go to our website on the front page and you'll find a prayer request button, or use the cards in the pew racks in front of you that say prayer request or care ministries, and leave that for us in the offering and help us to pray with you and for you. Next Sunday is the annual charge conference, which is a rather quick annual business meeting that happens at 2:30 p.m. via Zoom. And if you want to know more about that or be a part of that, you can let us know in the church office. Our administrative council are the members of that charge conference. The Habitat House that we've built in Noble, Habitat for Humanity House, the ribbon cutting is Tuesday, this week, Tuesday, November 9 at 9 a.m. And so if you want to know where that is and you want to come down and be a part of that, certainly let us know or go to our website and find that information. Also, on Thursday evening, Professor Emeritus George Henderson will be here to speak to us, sponsored by our Just Action team, and we invite you to be a part of that. There'll be music, and he will speak to us out of his life and experience. Also, as you know, Advent season is coming very quickly. We're looking for that coming light of Christmas as we begin Advent on November 28th, the first Sunday of Advent. And on that day is Advent Festival. And if you go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, you can find an Advent page that tells you everything about all those things. Well, maybe not everything, but there's something there about all the things that we do. We look forward to you connecting with us as we come home for Advent, looking to come home for Christmas. My colleague and friend, Dr. Victor McCullough, will be here next Sunday to preach both services in the sanctuary, and I'm looking forward to hear him. He's a fine preacher, and he will energize us together, and so I hope you'll come for that. Today we complete our sermon series, All In Our Promises, and today our focus is All Our Gifts. So let's stand, church, or if you're online, maybe even stand there and join in this first great hymn, For All the Saints, number 711.
join me in the affirmation of faith that is printed in the bulletin and that is on the screen. McFarland is all in for the promise of God's will and way revealed in Jesus. All in for our mission of changing lives that change the world. McFarland is all in with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. All in to do all in our power to strengthen the church's ministries. McFarland is all in to celebrate and remember those who came before us, those saints who built the foundation upon which we stand. McFarland, we trust God who is eternally all in. We celebrate God's unreserved and energetic promise of grace and peace. We are all in for the promise of our future together as Christ Church. For with God, all things are possible. That God may be all and in all. Amen. You may be seated.
Today we sing in honor of those who have passed away and gone to heaven before us. The light of Christ was alive in them and has been passed down to all of us where it continues to shine brightly. We are shining, singing legacies of many generations who have invested so much into the future. We will let our light shine.
Thank you so much for leading us in worship this morning. Let us join in prayer together. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you for the many people throughout the ages who have followed your way of life joyfully. God, for the many saints, the men and women who have offered up their very lives so that your abundant life may become real to others. God, we praise you today and every day for your love and your faithfulness to all generations. Loving God, we thank you for the truth that they have passed on to us, that it is by giving that we receive. It is by becoming weak that we shall be strong. It is by loving others that we shall be loved. It is by offering ourselves that your kingdom shall come. O Lord, give us courage to follow your way of life and to be all in for your mission. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
On our next hymn, we'll be inviting you to come with your commitment cards and put them in the basket here at front and center. And as you come, we remember that those who are, that many of us also do that online. We make that commitment pledge, or some of you, many of you who are live streaming may have done that, or we mail those in, or we do it even next week. But those who come today will represent all of us who have made our commitments to fund this mission and ministry for the next year. Great is thy faithfulness, number 140. We thank you, O God, for all the ways that you inspire the faithfulness of your people. We who follow, we who serve, who pray and give witness and advocate for those who need help in our world and society. We thank you, O God, for these gifts represented in this basket, for the lives given, for the sacrifices made, for the hope that we share together. And so we pray your deep blessings and your long blessings upon these commitments, our gifts, and our lives together, in the name and the way of Jesus. Amen.
I love All Saints Sunday, and one of the reasons I love it is I just enjoy looking at all of the different banners. And like you, I pick out certain ones and I think about the influences certain individuals had in my life and certainly in the life of this church. And as we enter into this time of offering, I can't help but give thanks for all of the generations that have come before us who have committed their time and their energy and efforts and their resources, their money to what we have today. And we have the opportunity as we enter into this time of offering to continue the great legacy of changing lives that change the world so that the next generation, the generation of children who sang this morning, will be able to continue to do great work in this community and literally around the world. So thank you in advance for your giving.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. Hear now these words. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any who had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. We sense that we're in a holy moment, O God, when our lives together give space and reception and expression to your eternal spirit among us. And we pray that you would help us to think and feel and understand together what we need to understand, what it is that we need in our lives and families and for our church, that we might be people for others. And so we come listening in the name and the way of Jesus. Amen. These wonderful banners in remembrance of all the saints, all the people of McFarland who have gone before and gifted us this continuance, this place as God's holy people, remind us that we are indeed surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses to the great grace of God. In that hymn that we sang, For All the Saints, we sang a line affirming that we are one with all of those past and that all of them are in God and we are as well. We sang, Yet all are one in Thee and all are Thine. All are one in You, O God, and all are Yours. Like them, we carry forward the Easter story of the resurrection, the message of resurrection hope. Perhaps you have imagined, or maybe someday you will wonder, what your family and friends would choose to put on a banner to memorialize your life. When I was a kid attending a funeral dinner at a church, I remember hearing the funeral director say that he had heard a pastor say this, Someday they're going to carry you to the cemetery, read scripture, pray, and say their last words. Then they will go back to the church and have fried chicken and pea salad and pie. And what will they say about you? Each of the symbols on these banners memorialize something significant about the life represented there. What might go on our banner? In today's scripture, we hear about Barnabas. He's a well-remembered, now over 2,000 years, person of the church. He's remembered because he sold a field and gave all the proceeds to the church. A church, we are told, in which, quote, no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common, end quote. Alvin was a tall and lanky man who reminded me of Abraham Lincoln without the beard. He was a member of our church, and his wife was my elementary Sunday school teacher. He and my dad were both in the farming business, and both of them served in lay ministry with something called the Christian Businessmen's Connection. And if I were to have suggested a symbol for an All Saints banner for Alvin as a child, from my childhood perspective, I think I would have put on it praying hands and a sleeping boy. Because you see, at Wednesday night Bible study, Alvin could pray. He could keep on praying and pray and pray. So we knew, my brother and I, that it was time for a rather uncomfortable nap in those theater seats that we had for pews. At one point, Dad and Alvin pooled their money and bought a hay baler together so that they could bale the hay and put it in the barn for the cattle in the winter. They owned it in common. They each had a need, and together they found a solution. However, although Alvin seemed to take that scripture that says, pray without ceasing, literally, he was short on mechanical skill. And I heard my dad say, every time the baler comes back from Alvin, it needs to be repaired. And he didn't sound that happy about it. He was irritated. It's a bit frustrating holding things in common. Holding possessions in common can create irritation and tension. Pooling resources and deciding how to best spend them can do the same. In this scripture today, we have a description of the ideal church in first century Jerusalem, but even in this ideal church, we can sense a little tension. We read that on the one hand, there was no one needy among them, and on the other hand, they were continually selling possessions to take care of those who had needs among them. There is always a tension between the ideal and the real. There's also tension between the then and there and the here and now. That ancient church existed in a very different culture, more communal in nature than our individualized economics and society. And when we read that they ended private ownership, collected the money, the proceeds, and distributed it to the needy, it may raise some eyebrows in our modern American, dare I say, political context. I'm quite sure you don't want me to say that based on this scripture that everyone listening should go out and sell their cars, liquidate their houses, bring all the money to the church, and live together at the church until we give away all the money. And frankly, I don't really want to say that either. And I'm not saying that. The principle here is a call to intentional, all-in, committed collaboration to fund the mission. That church was trying very hard to be true to the teachings of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, a wealthy person asked Jesus what he should do to inherit or obtain eternal life. And Jesus replies very clearly, telling him that it's not enough to be good and righteous. He commands him, quote, sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me, end quote. As church people trying to do exactly the things Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, they interpret what Jesus said to mean that they are to sell all and distribute. The same two words that Jesus uses are used here. The church became, in this instance, a financial distribution system because they believed they were supposed to follow Jesus by doing exactly what he said. They were trying to be saints, trying to be holy, trying to be distinctively like Jesus by doing what Jesus taught should be done to inherit eternal life. Alvin, the tall, lanky guy, was a saint. He loved God, he followed Jesus, he loved others, he served and witnessed, he was present with the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. In my humble 10-year-old opinion, he prayed too long and was deficient in either mechanical skills or personal responsibility. But he was a saint. What is a saint? In some traditions, saints are those who are associated with some miracle or superlative performance. Biblically, a saint is simply everyone in the church who loves God, loves others, and practices their faith. From what we have read today, a saint is someone who recognizes the great grace of God's love made known in the message of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. It's a person who responds to that with prayers, presence, service, witness, and gifts in varying degrees and expressions. Specifically, in this scripture today, a saint is what we might call a holy distributor. Up until some time in the 1990s, all gas-powered combustible engine vehicles had a distributor cap, a small mechanism that receives electrical power from a source and distributes the power via wires to the spark plugs. The high-voltage spark then sequentially ignites that mixture of gas and oxygen and causes a combustion and explosion, and that is transferred mechanically to a shaft that turns at high speed and generates the movement of the car. The convergence of fuel, oxygen, and fire creates the desired outcome. It empowers the purpose of the engine to create transportation that serves the needs of the people to do what they do. So over the years, since as early as 1885, motors like that have had 1 to 12 cylinders, typically 4, 6, or 8 cylinders where that explosion or combustion takes place. And up until into the 1990s, they also had this distributor cap. It's something else now, but a distributor cap that sends that high voltage electricity to the spark plug just when needed. And as early as 1912, people were using the phrase fires on all cylinders to refer to something or someone who is operating at maximum capacity. We could think of the church as a fleet of five-cylinder engines that operates best when we are sending energy in five important ways: prayers, presence, service, witness, and gifts. This fleet includes a variety of ministry vehicles: worship, mission, discipleship, evangelism, music, student, children, and family ministries, property maintenance, Sunday school, men's and women's ministries, and even literal vehicles, vans and buses used to facilitate the ministry, to accomplish the mission. Each saint is a faithful distributor cap, providing energy for the mission and ministry as each of us empowers the church by letting the dynamic energy of the Holy Spirit flow through our lives in those five ways: prayers, presence, service, witness, and gifts. Certainly, of course, the church is not mechanical. We are relational. We are organic. In that sense, we are alive. And the spark to energize our ministries is distributed through our living, our serving, our giving, etc. Our gifts energize and empower our ministry goals to accomplish the mission. So in this scripture, Barnabas is a case in point of a church member and a disciple of Jesus firing on all five cylinders, we could say. He is all in as a holy distributor of the grace of God. Barnabas definitely gets a banner. He has been memorialized in the Scriptures, of course, if that's not banner enough. He's a saint, but he wasn't perfect. Although he was beloved, influential, trusted, very engaged in the church's ministry, at one point he was led astray. And another time he was really in a strained relationship with his colleague and friend, the Apostle Paul. Still, he was all in for his church, and the narrator of this story names three things that Barnabas did or was that might give rise to symbols that would go on his banner. First, he was from the island of Cyprus, out in the Mediterranean Sea. So that he represents those early Jews who lived outside of Jerusalem, outside of Palestine, outside of the Holy Land, as we say, in what we call the dispersion or the diaspora. He probably owned property there and had family there, responsibilities there. But being an outsider to the Jerusalem church, he represents the coming expansion of the church. Secondly, he's a Levite, that tribe of Jewish persons designated as priests and servants of the temple. But captivated by the message of the resurrection, he brings his money to the church in this story, not to the temple. Let's remember that by the time Luke and Acts, the gospel in this book, are written, the temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed by the Romans. And the Christians are making the point that God is working beyond that place, beyond the temple, out into the world, working in the church by God's faithfulness to expand the reach to the ends of the earth, from Jerusalem to Syria to Italy to England to Norman, Oklahoma. The third thing that might go on a banner for Barnabas is his name, of course. He's given a new name, changed from Joseph to Barnabas by the apostles, the church leaders, by the church, represented by those strategic leaders. To be given a new name in that culture signaled in part that the person was all in, fully committed and faithful, signaled that to those who gave the name. And through the apostles, the church honored him with this name, Son of Encouragement, or Person of Encouragement, which can also be translated Person of Prophecy. Someone who is known to speak up in support of God's fresh and restorative work in Jesus and in the church that's open to all the world. And even though there are those three distinguishing marks, he's from Cyprus, he's a Levite, he gets a new name to recognize his role in the church, Barnabas is characterized here and throughout this biblical book as a person with one purpose, to do all he can to strengthen the ministries and the mission of the church so that the church can show and tell the great grace of God revealed in the story of Jesus and the message of resurrection hope. So Joseph the Levite from Cyprus, who represents this wide, diverse world to which the church will go, and who advocates for far-flung work, becomes Barnabas, a church member known for firing on all cylinders. He represents all the faithful followers of Jesus who are all in. He sells a field and distributes the proceeds as his gift to the church to be distributed through its ministry. When I look at you, when I look through that camera lens and imagine that I can see all of you, when I look out upon this collection of families and persons, I see a congregation of wholehearted saints, of holy distributors who are all in, firing on all five cylinders. I've heard so many of you in conversations and Sunday school classes, heard you give witness to the great grace of God that is upon this church and in your lives. I hear the stories of families who are all in for their families, parents all in for your children to be nurtured in the grace of God in the life of faith in the church, all in for your grandchildren and their future. I have come to know a church of families and persons whose hearts are good and filled with generosity, wholehearted, good-hearted, faithful-hearted, right-hearted people, five-cylinder people. Thank you. Thank you for loving God and loving others and loving the mission. Your presence in worship and ministry is a gift to each other, to your family, and it's an offering to God. And your prayers are a gift of heart and soul offered to God. Your worship, a gift of faith to your family and a strong expression of your desire for the redemption of the lost and justice for the oppressed. And your missional service is a gift to those who are served. It's a model of working faith to children and grandchildren. It's a tangible donation to the ministry of this congregation. And your witness is the gift of sharing yourself, recommending our church, exercising your Spirit-empowered gift of telling and showing the good news of a resurrection hope that endures. Your gifts of time, money, and action, efforts, these gifts are gifts to all of those touched by this church, now and for generations to come. Our commitments are gifts to a world sorely in need of the great grace of God in Jesus, in need of God's presence and desire for wholeness made tangible among a group of people where people can gather and with whom they can connect. Our promises collected together underwrite our mission as resurrection people. So that, as Paul says, God may be all and in all. So the question is not, as the credit card ad famously says, what is in your wallet? The question may be, what will someone put on my banner someday? I wonder, maybe a distributor cap with a halo. Maybe two words, five letters. All in. Let's pray. Oh God, we want to change the world the way you want to change the world, to make it good and right for all people. And so we invite you to continue work in our lives, so that very desire that you've given to us, demonstrated in all the stories of Jesus, that might be true and become true, now and for generations to come. We offer you our lives with all the saints. Amen.
For those who are worshiping with us online, I invite you now to go and get your bread and your juice as we prepare to come to the table today. We come to the table to experience God's love and mercy and forgiveness, and we come to the table together as the body of Christ, celebrating God's faithfulness to all people throughout all time. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the table of the United Methodist Church, nor of McFarland. And so everyone is welcome to come and to partake of God's gifts, from the youngest to the oldest among us. For those who are in person, you will come down the center aisles and you will receive your elements. We do have a gluten-free option, and so if you would like to have that, please let your server know. You're welcome to come and to kneel or stand at the altar rail to take communion and then to stay and pray for as long as you would like. And then when you are done, to return to your seats by the outside aisles. It is our tradition on each Communion Sunday to take up a special offering for our Thursday Utility Assistance Ministry. This ministry helps people every week pay a utility bill, which is important because that then allows them to use their money to pay another bill or to buy much needed items. And so your giving helps people stay in their homes and have the basic necessities that we all need. And so please leave your offering on the altar rail as you come forward, or you can give online today to that ministry. And now, as we prepare to come to the table, I would invite you to take out your hymnals, open to page 12, as we hear Christ's invitation. You can follow the words on the screen. And as we get to the part of the Great Thanksgiving, we are going to then skip to page 17. So just a heads up on that. But hear Christ's invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now on page 17. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered and connected here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints who now in glory shine, especially those McFarland saints whom we name before you. Edna Basham.
Nancy Batchman.
Jane Bernier.
Jana Blue.
Rachel Chavez.
Virginia Clendening.
Daryl Cody.
Bob Cornell.
Mary Crimes.
Norma Cummings.
Mike Dutcher.
Paul Ely.
Margaret Frederick.
Bob Goodner.
Art Gruber.
Jean Holland.
Dale Hughes.
Mary Kersey.
Trevor Lawrence.
Linda Ledbetter.
Robert Lynn.
Barbara Mike Marshall.
Libby McNellis.
Jim Miles.
Wanda Myers.
Bessie Olivo.
Heath Orndorff.
Glendale Glenn Ray.
Sharon Ray.
Marty Riley.
Robert L. Rick Roundtree.
Carol Shaw.
Bob Staples.
Cherie Staples.
Connie Stapleton.
Len Taylor.
Preston Trimble.
Rana True.
Billy Tubbs.
Barbara Waters.
And Bob White. O God, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Thank you. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the same bread. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup which we give thanks over is a sharing in the blood of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God and for the world. Thanks be to God. Church, children of God, saints, come to the table. We give you our thanks, O God, for this great grace, for the great mission that we share to change the world. We are grateful people, glad to be together in ministry. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the journey. Thank you for leading us. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen.
Please stand and join us for our closing hymn, Rejoice in God's Peace.
And now may the God of hope fill you with such joy and peace in believing that hope may abound in you and among us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.